All right. You got to learn to listen. Frank coming up with some cool music appropriate for the show. We're talking on the Everyday Leadership Show where we make work work about listening, about the power of listening at work. And, you know, obviously it crosses over into home as well. My next two guests join me together. They work together in psychological practice, psychologists in practice. They've been doing that for about 30 years, and they've co-authored a couple books, including Sick and Tired of Feeling Sick and Tired, Living with Invisible Chronic Illness. The book we're really focusing in on today is Are You Really Listening? Keys to Successful Communication. Paul Donahue and Mary Siegel, you can find them at Donahue and Siegel, and we'll spell Donahue for you, D-O-N-O-G-H-U-E. So Donahue, A-N-D, Siegel, S-I-E-G-E-L.com. Paul, welcome to the Everyday Leadership Show.
Thank you, Dan.
And Mary, glad to have you as well.
I'm glad to be here.
So Mary, why listen at work? Why does it matter?
Well, there are a lot of reasons why we want to listen. One is the basic. If someone's talking, there's an assumption that someone is listening. And unfortunately, that doesn't happen because people can get defensive or they can get distracted. And the effect of that is you don't really understand, first of all, what someone's saying to you. When the president was recently introducing the new Supreme Court nominee, he quoted Justice Stevens, who said, understanding before disagreeing, that we need to understand what someone's saying before we can agree with them or disagree. We need to understand what someone's saying before we can even work on a project. I mean,
right.
Just simple things like running back through what someone said. Okay, you want it done on this day, and you want it done for this person, and you want me to email first. That playing back makes sure that we all know that we're on the right page.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just so basic. But, Paul, you talk in your book about habits of non-listening, and what are they? There's some things we do that really have us miss the most basic, aren't there?
Right. I think it starts off with the idea that we all think we're good listeners. We know that other people are not good listeners, but we think we're good listeners.
Right.
So we don't even focus a lot on listening because we think we're already good at it. Whereas in reality, we have a whole slew of behaviors, all of us do, that we practice when someone talks. For example, if someone starts to say something that sounds like they're confused or it sounds like they have a problem, we think it's our job to give an answer. So we're ready with advice.
Mm.
And so some of us are big advice givers. We don't really listen. We just listen enough to tee up the advice that we're going to give.
Right.
Or that you start talking about some wonderful experience you've had. I don't really listen to it. I go, me too. I've had a great experience. You had this wonderful vacation. Oh, my God, let me tell you about the vacation I took. So we're ready with some behavior of advice giving, me too, or we get defensive when someone starts to talk and don't listen.
Yeah, so we need to become more aware of those things. I was thinking when you were talking, I hope that was okay, I was thinking when you were talking, trying to listen.
That's often what we do. We're thinking of what we're going
yeah.
to say next.
Yeah, right. And, of course, I have to do a little bit on the radio show because we don't like things dead, so there's my excuse. But, no, I was thinking when you said we think we're good at it that actually sometimes we may be and other times not. I was thinking it's not unlike a baseball player who can go on a incredible tear and he can just hit everything thrown at him, but he can go into slumps. And I think sometimes I am a good listener, but I think I go into slumps when I'm preoccupied and I'm distracted and I'm defensive and I'm
mm-hmm.
argumentative and I'm an advice giver and I'm all those things. So I think it takes habit whether you're, you know, generally pretty good or generally not so good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it's very important to know where do I tend not to listen. Do I tend to be a comfort giver? Someone starts to say, they're feeling very sad and I've got to go, oh, but you'll be fine. Am I a comfort giver? Am I an advice giver? Do I say me too a lot? Do I get very defensive? Do I need to keep talking about me instead of where do I go into a slump?
Yeah.
What situations do I have to be careful to say, no, careful now, don't go there, really listen.
Right, right. Great, great stuff, Paul. And nice piece of listening, I might add, that you used my metaphor of going into a slump, and you built on it, which makes me feel like I like this guy. He's listening to me. He's actually using words or concepts that I'm using. That was not unintentional on your part, was it?
That's actually one of the values of listening, that we tend to like people more if they listen, even people who seem like they're on the opposite end of a political spectrum or in different religions or in a different department in a company. But if we listen, we find out, wow, I'm not so different from you, or I actually like you, even if I don't agree with you.
Right, right. Well, Mary, we talked about a little bit of the mistakes that we tumble into, as Paul was sharing. How about some good practices of listening? What kind of habits can we develop that are really positive instead of pathological?
Well, how about instead of we tell you what is, how about we actually demonstrate that?
Okay. How are we going to do that?
Okay. How about you share something, let's say, for example, around being the first gentleman, and one of us will listen and one of us will show you what listening is.
So just like anything about being first gentleman, or?
Yes, anything that you, like some feeling that you have that you think someone would be interested in.
Well, okay. So for 7.5 years, I've been in this role of first gentleman. It was never anything I sought, never imagined seeking it. And honestly, it might seem weird to people, but I never even thought about what it meant for me until after my wife was elected that I started to think about it. And I feel like 7.5 years in, I'm still not very good at it.
All right. How about if I listen, Mary, and you comment?
All right.
First of all, as I'm listening, I don't get into some agendas that I have. I don't start thinking, where do you live? Do you live in the governor's mansion, or do you travel together? So I drop my own agenda, and I try to hear you. So it sounds like you're saying that in the last 7.5 years, it seems like before that, going into this job, you really didn't think what it would be like to be first gentleman.
No, I didn't.
And only as you've gotten into it have you learned that it's, and I don't really know then what it's like for you, but that it's a new experience, evidently, for which you weren't prepared and didn't think about ahead of time. But now for 7.5 years, you've been in a unique situation?
Yes, yes. Without any real guides, or I didn't have any good example to say, oh, I should be like that.
Right, so like in a lot of times in our life, we've got a role model, or we've prepared for the role of being doctor or teacher or dentist, but you had no preparation, no role model. Like it had to be in some way, man, like one day at a time, I'm working this out without a roadmap.
Yeah, it definitely felt that way.
Mm. Well, but let me show you. Can I show you a couple of things, and then you two go back?
Great, Mary.
First of all, what Paul said is, you have to put, if you're the listener, you have to put all your agenda aside. You don't drop it. You just put it aside and say, I'm completely focused on you. So he's completely focused on what you're telling him right now,
right,
what's happening. The second thing he did was he plays it back. Now, it doesn't have to be like a tape recorder, and you wouldn't want it to be, but it's just saying, okay, I've heard you. Here's what I hear.
Mm-hmm.
Then the third thing is he has kind of a tone that isn't saying this is exactly what you said, and I'm telling you. He's not stating facts. He's just saying it back in a way that says, is this what you were saying to me?
Yeah, I felt a real inquiry sort of on his part, like a testing or tentativeness.
Yeah,
right.
That gave me room to reinterpret almost, or to say it more precisely what I was trying to say.
Right, and then, Dan, you did what people do. If they're really being heard, you go on to tell more. If we just say, that's the fact, you said that, it tends to shut people up fast. But then you did very naturally. If you're being heard, you start to tell more.
Interesting. Yeah, very much the case. And to play with it and to kind of hone in on it.
Now, if you add to that, Dan, that when you're face-to-face, that you look at the person you're listening to. You don't say, I can look at the television and the newspaper and still hear you. You stop multitasking. You look at the person. You have that kind of eye contact. And then you try to catch the feeling tones of the person who's talking. What's the person? Your child's saying, you know, the teacher doesn't like me or the boss doesn't like me. Are you afraid? Are you anxious? Are you angry? Are you resentful? I mean, I'm trying to hear what you're feeling about what you're saying.
So, Paul, you're not saying that you ask those questions. You're asking those questions in your own mind. Is my kid scared? Are they guilty? Are they angry? Or is my boss frustrated with something? What if I pick that up? What if it's a conversation now with a boss and you've come in to talk about a project and I've said, you know, it's okay, Paul. What you've done is okay. You know, next time I'd like to see you, you know, do a little more research. I mean, there's a tone there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what's the tone you're hearing?
Well, that's exactly what you'd want to do is get clear now. Your gut says, I think I'm hearing something. So you'd want to be saying to your boss, it sounds like you're not really happy about this, that you're disappointed. So you would be saying back, not, well, you're disappointed, but more, you sound like you're not completely pleased with what you're seeing here.
Isn't that dangerous, Mary, for me to do that? Because then they say, well, yeah, you screwed up, Dan.
Well, the idea there is that if your boss knows that you're really paying attention, that's what bosses tell us over and over and over when we consult. Can you teach my staff to really listen? Well, that person is listening. And if the boss is frustrated, better to know it and have the boss deal with it directly with you, even if it scares you a bit, and have the boss walk away thinking, that dope never gets it right.
I'm right with you, Paul, on that. Well, there you heard some good stuff. I hope you follow up with these guys, Paul Donahue and Mary Siegel. Their book is called Are You Really Listening? Keys to Successful Communication. You saw they did it with me. Learn it a little bit deeper so you can continue to lead with your best self.